Good morning. Parshat Vayishlach. The subject of today's shiur is going to be, of course, the center theme of the parsha, which is the story of Shechem. Dinah goes out. After they have arrived in Eretz Yisrael, they are now encamped by Shechem, the city of Shechem. She goes out and she is accosted by a young man by the name of Shechem, whose father's name is Hamor, and they are the lords of the manor. They are the ones to whom the whole area belongs. They are the ruling class. Hamor the father, Shechem the son. He rapes Dinah. And then, strangely enough, he wants her. And they come to speak to the father. Yaakov already is at home and he knows already what has happened. His sons are out in the field with the sheep. And he does not want to alarm them, so he waits and he remains silent until they come home. And when they come home, they find out that the great sorrow that Dinah has been raped by Shechem. And the brothers sit down. Hamor and Shechem come to talk. You understand, after a terrible criminal act, they want to sit down and talk like machatunim to machatunim. There's really no question about the dira or the photographer or anything else. It's just a matter of an alliance between our two people. So the sons of Hamor and Shechem say, listen, you'll live here, you will marry our daughters, we will marry your daughters, we will do business together. And there the land is open, the land is rachvas yodayim, it's spread out and open before you. We're going to be living here together happily ever after. And the sons of Yaakov are the ones who take up the negotiations, and they respond to Hamor and Shechem Ba'orma, with wisdom. And they say that this is a wonderful idea, except for the fact that we circumcise our males, and we cannot enter into any kind of familial relationship with people who don't undergo circumcision. If you will undergo circumcision, oh, then we can become machatunim. We marry your daughters, you marry our daughters. We become all one big happy family. And Hamor and Shechem decide that this is a great idea. They go back home. They convince the people of Shechem that great opportunities are waiting for them. The city circumcises themselves. And then we know the rest of the story. On the third day, the Yotam Karvim, when they are in pain, Shimon and Levi. Shimon is 13 years old and Levi is 12 and change. They come into the city. They massacre the entire city, and of course they kill Hamor and Shechem. They take their sister. She's been held the whole time during all of these negotiations. Nobody ever offered to take Dinah back and now we'll talk. No. All of the negotiations are going on under the shadow of a Dinah who is being held against her will in the house of the one who has raped her and defiled her. They take Dinah and they go. When they return home, Yaakov Avinu is the one who castigates them. He says, "What did you do?" Number one, we have the psukim. We may have to refer to some of the psukim before, but I told them to you. There it is. if we start with Pasuk 26, that Chamor v'Shem v'no horgul v'ichores, Chamor and Shem his son, they killed by the sword, and they took Dina from the house of Shem, and they went. B'nei Yaakov bo al achalolim. B'nei Yaakov means most probably the rest of the sons came, and they robbed the, they took whatever was in the city al achalolim on the dead bodies. Vayavosu ha'ir, and they pillaged. They took everything from the city asher timu achotam that had defiled their sister. At sonam, at bekorem, at chamodeim, at asher ba'ir, at asher basadeh lokachu. Their sheep, their cattle, their donkeys, what they had in the city and what was in the field, everything they took. That kol chelam, all of their wealth, that kol tapam, that nishayim, their children and their wives, shavu, they took them captive by a vozu, and they took the spoil and the loot, that kol hasheva bayit, everything. Everything that was in the house. Vayomer Yaakov, el Shimon ve'el Levi. Now I have to tell you, for years, I've always been vacillating between two different feelings. Yaakov now really gives his children Musa, and he says, "Vayomer Yaakov el Shimon ve'el Levi." Yaakov said to Shimon and Levi, "Achartem osi, you have clouded my reputation. Lahavisheni, to make me odious. I don't smell good now. Biyoshev Oretz, by the people who live in the land. Taknani ubaprizi. Vani misay mispar. I'm just a few people. Vinesfu alai. They were going to gather against me. Vikuni, and they're going to smite me. Vinishmaditi, and I'm going to be destroyed. Ani ubeti, I and my whole family. What did you do? God in Himmel, what did you two do?" The parsha ends with their response. Vayomer, they said, "Hachazona yases achoseinu, is our sister going to be treated like a harlot?" There are times at which I have felt that this is one of the great slogans of Tanakh, a great statement that reverberates across the centuries. Tata Levin, what are you talking about? These fellows got what they deserved. Hakizona Yasef Avotenu. And then there were times at which I felt that Hakizona Yasef Avotenu was a pitiful, pathetic whimper of two little boys who've just been told off by their father in Tatan's Tataran. He has put them in their place, and in their defense, they say, "Achazono yasas achoseinu." You think Yaakov wasn't concerned about that? So I keep going between "Achazono yasas achoseinu," let my people go, or to use from previous Yerim, "Achazone yasas achoseinu." Tip a canoe and Tyler too. Gizuk! Fuck me, gizuk! What is it? What is it? I have a feeling that in the past it always depended on what my mood was or what was going on by Klal Yisrael at the time. Today, I think I'm going to be able to share with you a number of misfortune that will blow your minds. But we'll just build up to it as we go step by step. One of the, after all these years in this business, occasionally say something good. So I had once explained, what Yaakov is saying, Vayomer Yaakov, that passage we just read, Yaakov said to Shimon v'Levi, I had said, and you know that I make these broad statements, you know, one of the most unusual psukim in Tanakh. You've heard that before, haven't you? But every time I say it, it's true. This pasuk, is extremely unusual and exceptional. And I'll tell you why it's exceptional. If Yaakov wants to tell Shimon and Levi that they have endangered the family, you know what he should have said? Take a look at all of us. We. Me. Your mother. My wives. My children. We all have been placed in grave danger by what you did. You're irresponsible. And in place of that, do you know what Yaakov is saying? The unusual aspect of this pasuk is that in this pasuk, the only one, I say it's the only one in Tanakh. 8 times we hear Yaakov speak in first person singular. Vayome Yaakov el Shimon el Levi. Yaakov said to Shimon el Levi, Achartem oti. Me, you've made my whole reputation clouded. Lahad ishein, me, to make me so odious. V'yoshev ha'aretz, v'aknani v'aprisi, v'ani, I, misay mispar, a few people. V'nesfu, a lie, they will gather against me. V'hikuni, and they will strike me. V'nishmadeti, and I will be destroyed. Ani, I, ubeisi, and my house. I wouldn't have spoken that way. But don't we usually, when we want to get a message across, don't we say, take a look, Klal Yisrael you have endangered. From Dan Be'er Sheva, from Metula Ad HaNegev. All of us. That's not what Yaakov says. I say, believe that what Yaakov is saying is the following. It may not be that bad. Yaakov may not, and by the way, he doesn't. It's not a word in Yaakov's response to Shimon Falevi where he in any way deals with the moral issues involved. He doesn't make any kind of moral statement at all. You spilled innocent blood. There's a whole city there of people. Innocent people. There is no moral statement by Yaakov Avinu. He doesn't tell them, you know, look what you did out there. It's all focused on him. Everything is focused on him. One could even think that, you know, Yaakov Avinu is the be-all and the one-all of the whole world. It's all only him. Don't you have any compassion? And I can see how leftist liberal is going to read this. Doesn't Yaakov Avinu have the courage, the moral fortitude to stand up and tell his children that they've done something terrible? By the way, we talked a few weeks ago about the fact that by the end of his life there are going to be moral statements that he's going to make. But right now, he makes no moral judgment whatsoever. I understand Yaakov Avinu here is saying the following. We're in the process of building a family. We're doing more than building a family. We've come into Eretz Yisrael, and you know what we are? We're the nucleus of a nation that's going to be the people of God. In this structured nation, you have to know there's a chain of command. You don't have the right to go off on your own and do something that may in any way affect negatively other members of your family, even if it's only one. I'm the Ramakal in this family. I am the Prime Minister in this family. You don't have the right to go off on your own and do whatever it is. It may be the noblest thing of all. But there's a structure to this family. Because this family is becoming a nation. And I stand at the top of the pyramid. The buck stops by me. You had a responsibility to discuss it with me first. And therefore Yaakov places himself at the very center of all of this. What the moral issue is going to be, that we're going to talk about yet. Whether there is a moral issue here or not. Yes?
Bela.
It's too hot. It's not me. I know when I got hot under the collar, this is hot. Yes?
The Mephoshim castigated Lotan because he spoke before his father the Tue when he came to the question of Eliezer.
Yes.
So there is also the question of the son. So
yes, and the fact is, Rashi alludes to this when it says in Pasuk 25, what did it say in Pasuk 25? B'nei Yaakov, bo al achalon, B'nei Yaakov. So Rashi says, Bonav hoyu, you don't have this Rashi, I'm reading it to my Chumash. Bonav hoyu, they were his children. Vako became Nahagu Atzman Shimon V'Levi Kishara Noshim She'enam Bonav. Shimon and Levi conducted themselves like people who are not the children of Yaakov. Shalom Notlu Eitzohemenu. They did not ask his advice. My chiddush is that I'm saying that these words of Rashi are so clearly seen in this statement that was made by Yaakov. The statement which is eight times nearly in a row in one pasuk, first person singular, I. Because you have to ask my advice. When you read the pasuk that way, then Hachazono Yasa Sachosenu, their response, Hachazono Yasa Sachosenu, could be like, sort of, yeah, pa, you're right. We made a big, big mistake. But we had to do it. We did it because we were compelled to do it. Maybe, as I'm saying it, I'm thinking to myself, maybe they're saying, yeah, you're right, we didn't go according to the chain of command, but the issue was so burning. It was obvious. We had to do something. Hachazon
HaYasa Sachoseinu. Maybe because what you ask has sort of many times why Yaakov was not shaken morally, because maybe those people were as bad, they were murdered, and killing them was not.
Well, let's see. Alright, that's the question you brought us now to the question that we're going to talk about. Why indeed did they kill the people of Shechem? That's the moral question. Okay, look, let's hear. We're going to have five answers. Two of them you may have heard of. Three of them, I bet my bottom dollar you never heard them. Yes? Yes?
Three days, where was Yaakov? Are you saying he didn't know anything that was going on?
With the 3 days, are after they... already undergone circumcision, in other words, all of the negotiations took place before.
Did Yaakov know that Dina had been taken?
Oh, he knew everything. He knew everything.
What was the plan? Wouldn't he say something?
Oh, okay. We'll see. What was the plan? Okay. Yes.
But at the end of his life,
yes,
he
condemns them
again for their outrageous.
Condemns them. Yes.
Because of their. Quickness of temper and rushing.
No, I said it a few weeks ago and I'll say it again. He condemns them at the end of his life because between the incident here, this event with Dina, and the end of Yaakov's life, something else happened. The sale of Yosef. Which means he's condemning them, then it's their anger, and not because they're so concerned. Why weren't they concerned about their brother?
Well, that's what I meant. In other words, they have not been able to restrict their own.
That's right. They were not able to restrict their anger. If it only would have been the question of Dina, they would be tzaddikim yisodei olam, which they were anyway. Yes.
The other question, I mean, I can understand their killing, but it's not sense. Why did they have to loot the city?
Why did they have to loot the city? Very good. Good question. Why did they have to loot the city?
Well,
or Achaim will talk about that. Now what we have to make sure is that I can make my way through the Mefarshim that I want to talk with you about. Otherwise you're going to be left at the end without the answers. Number one, the Rambam. Number two, the Rambam made short shrift of the whole issue. The Ketzad Mitzuvim Heim Al Adinim. The Rambam is talking about the Bnei Noach. Bnei Noach have seven mitzvahs. Are seven mitzvahs Bnei Noach. Seven mitzvahs. One of the seven mitzvahs, mitzvah number seven for that matter, is Dinim. Laws or law or justice. The Rambam says Dinim means the following. Chayovin lahoshiv dayonim b'shoftim b'chol pelech u'pelech ladun b'sheish mitzvos elu. There's a responsibility on Bnei Noach that they have to establish a court system in every area where they live, and the responsibility of the courts is to judge the individuals with regard to the first six of these seven Noachite mitzvos. And you have to warn, these courts have to warn the people that they should not transgress the other six, which are not to commit idolatry, not to commit murder, not to commit adultery. I mean, they're all okay. Uben Noach she'ovar alachas mishev mitzvah seilu yeharik b'sayif. A Ben Noach who transgresses any one of these commandments is killed by the sword. And here the Rambam, in the middle of the halacha, throws in, that's why all the people of Shechem had a death sentence upon them. Shehadei Shechem gazal, Shechem stole Dina from her family. V'heim ra'u, they saw it. V'yadu, they knew about it. V'lo donuhu, and they didn't judge him. There was absolute lawlessness. Uben Noach nerag be'ed echod ubedayim echod below aschah. You don't need the whole process. One witness. I mean, they know. Everybody knows exactly what Shechem did. This was not hidden. There were great high level negotiations going on between the family of Yaakov and the family of Chamor and Shechem. So therefore, these people were under death penalty, and Shimon and Levi are the ones who came in and administered the death sentence. Does the Rambam mean, well, that the other brothers would have done it too, except that Shimon and Levi beat them to the killing? I don't know. You see, because it may be possible, not always, because there's a halacha, doesn't mean you have to do it. If I have to put on tefillin, I have to put on tefillin, I have to keep Shabbos, I have to keep Shabbos. I mean, you know, there are a lot of goyim out there that are chayiv misa. So do I have to become God's avenger in the world? Do I have to become the policeman of the world and go out there killing everybody who does aveiras? Alright? I mean, maybe there would have been reason not to do it. And by the way, Yaakov Avinu is the one who may be expressing that listen, we can't, even if you're right, fellas, you're right, I know. Shimon Levi might tell him, Pa, you don't know the Rambam. The Rambam says it's a... Yaakov Avinu tells them, what are you talking about? I knew that Rambam before you were born. But because the Rambam says it, doesn't mean that we have to go ahead and endanger ourselves in order to carry out that punishment, to execute this execution. But according to the Rambam, they did not do an aveir. Didn't do an aveir, because this is the moral question that everybody asks. What did they do? They slaughtered the city. They slaughtered the city. That's the Rambam's approach. The Rambam does not agree with the approach of the Rambam. I don't have the Rambam here on the page. There's a great deal. I don't know, maybe if we have time, we'll get back to the Rambam. The Rambam simply said, we may yet see a little bit of the Rambam in the Orachayim that's going to come next. The Ramban says you don't have to look for Averis by Anshei Shem. They were all idolaters. They were only having a Zohar. One of the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach is idolatry. And that's it. And you have to, the Rambam has to go look for Averis that they did. It's easy. It's easy. There was absolutely no problem. All right. Let's begin now with our different approaches. And if we have time, we'll go back to some of the normal approaches. The Or HaChaim HaKadosh. Let's take number 3. Vayahargu kol zohar. Follow me. Kosha. He asks the question. Lama yahargu mishal ochota. Why should they kill somebody who didn't sin? Vod. Lama lo higdimu b'val aveda tchila. Hamor and Shem were the last ones killed. This is an important question. You know, I didn't realize how important this question is. Oh, is this an important... Alright, I know what you're going to say. There he goes, he's saying it again. I didn't really understand this, Or HaChaim, until I said it right now here in this class. You have inspired me. The Or HaChaim asks two questions. Why were the innocent killed? And then, why are Hamor and Shechem killed at the end in the Psukim that you have? Take a look at Pasuk 25. Second Pasuk, Vayom HaShlishi, on the third day, B'yotam Koavim, when they were in pain. By the way, those two words, B'yotam Koavim, are going to be extremely important. But meanwhile, on the third day, when they were Koavim, Vayikru Shnei B'nei Yaakov, Shimon V'Levi, the two sons of Yaakov, Shimon and Levi, who were Achei Dina, Ish Harbo, each one took his sword. By the way, the Pasuk is beautiful. Shimon and Levi see themselves as the sons of Yaakov. They are going as representatives of Yaakov. And do you know what it is that sends them on this mission? Because they are the brothers of Dina. On both sides of the names, Shimon and Levi, we have precisely what's going on in their minds. Don't think that these are two hooliganists, terrorists that are going into Shechem. From Shechem come terrorists. Jews that go in are not terrorists. This is Operation Chomat Magen. This is it. Defense of Shield. Now watch what the Pasuk says. They went in, each with his sword, by your bow, I'll hear Betach. They came against the city with a sense of assuredness. Vayargu kol zohar. Ves chamor ves shchem b'no hargu lefi chorev. And chamor and shchem his son. Oh boy, do I understand this, Or HaChaim. Or HaChaim has two questions. Question number one is, why did they kill the innocent? And the second question is, why did they leave Shchem and chamor for the end? They should have killed them first. You may not think that the question is that good, but when you see the answer, when you see the answer, Achain, he says, he made a Yaakov lo hoya b'datom lahad rogele balaveda. Now, by the way, any relationship between what the Or HaChaim says in this paragraph and contemporary history is not coincidental at all. It's absolutely intended. Listen to what he says. B'nai Yaakov didn't intend to kill the people of Shechem. No, the whole moral question about why did they kill the innocent, they had no such intention. Ela shekol b'nei ho'ir rotzu lamod the peretz connect them. You know what the people did? They stood up to protect Hamor and Shechem. They surrounded the house of Hamor and Shechem. They surrounded the house. Leval Yahargu Malcolm, so that their king, the arch terrorist, should not be killed. Ashar al Kain Harogum Bigdin Rodas, they had no choice. Because the whole city is standing up now against Shimon and Levi. So they had to kill them, he didn't know they. Vuhu Omro. And that's why it says, the Pasuk says first that the Psukim are so perfect according to the Or HaChaim. First it says, Vayargu kol zocha, they killed every male. Uboze, through this, they were able to achieve la'arog et kamor ve'etzchem v'zulatze. If not for that, lo yuchol l'ninkom nakom ve'amichuy l'mamisa, they would never have been able to get to the arch terrorists. So he's reading the psukim so beautifully. Vayargu kol zacha. And what does it say? After vayargu kol zacha ve'etzchamor ve'etzchem v'no hargu. They were out after chamor and etzchem. They're the ones they were out after. But everybody surrounded the house. I mean, this is not current events. This is mamish current events. Oh, Tam Shehargu Kol Bnei, another reason why they killed all the people in the city. Litzat Shehim Hayu Be'ezeh Shem Ligzol De'itina. They were also accomplices. They were mashtapim. You know what a mashtap is? Mishatfei pu'ula. That's the, you know, all of Hebrew is... What do you call them? Acronyms or whatever they are? Mashtap and Mishatfei Pula, those who collaborate. They assisted, they stood behind them. There was no Isra of adultery of it because Dina was unmarried. Now he tells you another thing. In the next pasuk it says, "Bnei Yaakov bo al achalonim vayavozu ha'ir." Bnei Yaakov came on the dead and they pillaged the city. Ashetimu archotam, that had defiled their city, the sister. So he says, "The timta shomer akosam ashetimu achosam had a kina hamaisel lekulam." You know what the pasuk is saying? They're all equally responsible. The city, the dead that had defiled their sister. You know what the pasuk is telling us? This was not an act of one man alone or two men. Everybody was behind it. Everybody gave their approval. So why didn't the pasuk say that the whole city were the ones who stole their sister? Shehu ikra avon, shalom netchayvu mita, because that's the main sin for which they chayv mita. Loma, shehi gzeilo she'enu v'ashava, because they stole and had no intention of returning. So he's going to go on to say it's because they were involved and they acquiesced. Therefore, they are also considered as having defiled their sister. So that means they too are guilty. And because they defiled their sister, their punishment is that everything that belongs to them is taken by the sons of Yaakov. Do you know why? Because the halacha is, you have to pay for shame, for boshet. The whole city had defiled Dina and the whole family. And therefore they have to pay. And that payment was exacted from them. Alright? Much more. But I just want to take you to where it says the Rambam. The Rambam, the Perek Tet here. The Arachayim brings the Rambam that we learned. The Rambam in Perek Tet of Hilchos Lachem gave another reason for the killing of Anshei Shechem. Because they didn't shaloho shivu dayanim, because they didn't have a system of judges. They were a lawless society. And a lawless society is chayiv misa. Where it's underlined, v'ramban. V'ramban zal docha, divrei Rambam, the Ramban rejected the words of the Rambam, because the Ramban learns that the word dinim, the seventh, of the seven Noahide mitzvahs, dinim, does not mean judges, it means laws. And the word dinim includes anything that has to do with buying and with selling and with employment and paying somebody who works for you, cheating, stealing. Everything is included in the word dinim. And the responsibility to have a system of judges is not a negative commandment, but the system of judges is a positive commandment for the sons of Noah, and for that there's no death penalty. It doesn't mean that you should establish judges. That you should judge the complaints and the problems between men and fellow men. Go take a look at what he says over there. He gave the reason for killing Shem because they were chayiv misa, because they were everyday avodah zarah. Udvorav zal tzrichim orev, he says the words of the Ramban need somebody to guarantee for him. He doesn't seem to be happy with the Ramban. And obviously the problem with the Ramban is that the fact that they're idolaters has nothing to do with the sons of Yaakov, as I said earlier. So therefore Shimon and Levi should become the world's policemen. Bush, you understand? America's the world's policeman. So you find an Eved Avodah Zarah, kill him, kill him. That's the problem with the Ramban. Because the Eved Avodah Zarah, you mean to tell me that this whole Pasha is talking because they were Eved Avodah Zarah, and what happens if they wouldn't have taken Dina? Would they have gone into the city to kill the Eved Avodah Zarah? That's a problem with the Ramban. It's a problem. Number four is Targum Yonatan Ben Uziel. Now, in this paragraph here, Targum Yonatan Ben Uziel is written in Aramaic. But we have here the Aramaic, and in parentheses we have the Hebrew translation. I'm going to make it easier. I'm going to be moving from... what do you call those things again?
Parentheses.
I'm going to be moving from parentheses to parentheses. Listen what he says. Lo no, second line. Lo no, no sheyomar be'atid. It's not nice that in the future it will be said, b'batei ha-kesiyot shel Yisrael, in the shuls of Israel. It's not going to be nicer for all time in the shuls of Israel, they're going to say, Arelim lochu besula, va'ov de'alimim tinfuet bat Yaakov, these uncircumcised took a Jewish virgin, and idolaters filthy the daughter of Yaakov. That's not going to be nice. That's not going to be nice. You can't, by the Torah reading, I think everybody's going to get upset. They're going to say this. This is what's correct. This is what's nice. That, you know what should be said? Arelim nergu. The uncircumcised were killed, begin betula, because of that virgin. V'hov de'alilim begin bito she'yako. And idolaters were killed, put to death, because they defiled the daughter of Yaakov. V'lo yiyye b'dvorav aleinu, so that they should not speak about us and say about a Yiddish meidala u'kizona she'ein lo tovim, that she is a harlot and nobody stands up for her. And kizona yaseh tachotenu im lo yinu osim kadavar azeh, if we would not have done this, then they would have said for all time, Jewish girls are hefka. They are zona. You can do whatever you want. You hear what the Targum Yerushalmi is saying? You want to translate that into contemporary terminology? There must always be deterrence. There has to be a sense of fear. The enemy has to know that they can't lob all sorts of kassams and what are those other fashtubana rockets called? Fetushas with impunity. Hefker is Jewish blood hefker. Lo yo, it's not nice that this should be said in shuls. I mean, this Targum Yerushalmi and Targum Yonatan ben Uziel is absolutely contemporary. They said, no, let it be known. He who touches a hair on Yan Vesulas Yisrael dies like a dog. Keep your hands to yourself. A Yiddish maidel is Kodesh. Right? Targum Yonatan ben Uziel. Targum Yonatan ben Uziel. Targum Yonatan already is comes from the area of Sod and Kabbalah, not to be taken lightly at all. Turn over. Let's run quickly through Rav Samson of Ol Hirsch. By verse 25, when it says that they went into the city, so Rav Samson of Ol Hirsch says, now the blameworthy part begins, which we need in no wise excuse. Had they killed Shechem and Hamor, there would be scarcely anything to say against it. You hit a position that he's taking. If they would have killed Shechem and Hamor, that's okay, but they did not spare the unarmed men who were at their mercy. Yea, and went further and looted, altogether made the inhabitants pay for the crime of the landowner. This is certainly that the Arachayim would reject this entirely. For that there was no justification. Okay, there's no justification for the massacre of the city of Shechem. And for that Jacob too reproached them. You have clouded me, our reputation, our name, our honor. By the way, I wouldn't say our. How would I have written it? How would Yaakov have said it? Okay, you see. I've done a job on you. Okay. Which was clear as crystal, you have besmirched, have brought me in evil odor, even with the Canaanites and the Perizzites. And just as you have dealt unjustly, so have you dealt unwisely. We are so few in number, etc. However, in defense of Rav Samson of Ol Hirsch, he does say in the next paragraph, their one answer, HaChazon HaYasas HaChosen, gives the whole motive. The Lord would never have allowed himself, the Lord over here is with a little L. The Lord that they're talking about over here is Hamor, the Lord of the land, the landed gentry. The Lord would never have allowed himself to act as he did were it not a question of a foreign, friendless, forsaken Jew girl. That I like the way he writes. Jew girl. By the way, I'm going to add something to Rav Samson of Ol Hirsch on the basis of something that I said last week. When we talked, was it last week, the shiur about Rav Avadya Yosef's tshuva, he brings the Ra'avan who says that when there's a border city, Goyim are going to come against Jews, they are going to come to kill because they can easily run back to the safety. I say that Hamor and Shechem were able to walk in to the house of Yaakov and negotiate while they're holding on to Dina only because they know that there's a whole city there standing behind them. Why aren't they afraid to come walking in to the house of Yaakov? They're holding Shalit. You know why they're not afraid? Because they've got a whole city behind them. And the whole city is with them, just as the Arachayim said. Now, what Rav Samson of Ol Hirsch is saying, the Lord would never have allowed himself to act as he did were it not a question of a foreign, friendless, forsaken Jew girl. That was the thought that brought home to the minds of Shimon and Levi, that there are times when the family of Jacob too must grasp the sword to protect the purity and honor of their women. They had no desire to act prudently. No, this was that they wanted to make themselves feared. This is already Targum, Yonatan ben Uziel. They wanted to make themselves feared so that nobody would attempt anything similar. And Rav Samson of Ol Hirsch sees this as a justification. The daughters of Jacob were not to be considered as being at anybody's disposal. But nevertheless, they went too far to take revenge on innocent people for that which powerful ones had done. So of course we question this, how innocent were those people? The Arachayim has done a wonderful job of proving that the people of the city were right there with Hamor and Shechem. I tell you, for all sorts of reasons, I put in number 6 the Tzitz Eliezer. The Tzitz Eliezer, because I really, one of these days, as I said last week, I want to give a whole shiur on the Tzitz Eliezer. Rebbe Eliezer Yehuda Waldenberg, the Tzadik Levracha, who died a week and a half ago, left 22 Sifrei Shailos and Tshuvos. It's unbelievable. He's dealing with a different issue. He's dealing with the issue, is there a responsibility upon somebody to endanger his life to save a fellow Jew? It extends further. And in time of war, to what extent does one soldier have the responsibility to risk his life to save a fellow soldier? He may or may not be killed. Now, there's one mistake. I don't want you to make the mistake. Shimon and Levi had no guarantee that they were going to go into that city and out unharmed and unscathed. Forget that, and we're going to prove it right away in another way. They endangered their lives, make no mistake, because you have this picture since childhood, you have this picture, it's the third day of the Bris, and these guys are so sick, they can't move, nobody has any kayak, it's Kipela, and these poor people are lying there in bed, by the way, from the Orachayim already, we see they're not lying around the bed because they surrounded the house of Hamor and Shem in order to protect them. And we're going to see right away that the pictures that you may have in your mind, as though this was a piece of cake. They just went in there, they went from house to house. Wrong. But first, Tzitz Eliezer says the following. He says there may be a question about one, whether one has the responsibility to risk his life in order to save somebody else's life. To what extent should one risk one's life? I don't know, somebody's drowning. I can't swim that well. The undercurrent is difficult. To what extent should I... Do I have a responsibility, or may I jump in order to save the other? You know? So he says, all of these questions about whether one should endanger one's life or not, he says, is only talking when it's not a matter of war. Lachar, even after thinking about it, nidid yeshlamba, war is different. Just like war itself is permitted according to Torah, and at times war is a mitzvah, and nobody has a guarantee what's going to happen in war. That means in war you risk your life without the considerations of it's dangerous out there. Of course it's dangerous out there, and the halacha says you're supposed to be out there. Just as war itself was permitted, depending on the cause, and its purpose, and in war, a whole nation goes into danger. One of the halachas of war is shekol echod ve'echod may anshe hakrav mechuyev limser es nafsho. Each and every one of the soldiers has a responsibility to be Mosa Nefesh in order to save a fellow soldier. His other, his partner, that comes as a result of war. And then he goes on further. And he says, "V'lo haya Adonenu." Further, I skipped a little bit. David went out to war and put himself in grave danger because the halacha of war is a halacha on the cloud, which means the following: Shimon and Levi, as we point out in a moment, did not go into a situation in which This was just going to be a simple matter of not only killing innocent people, not only killing unarmed people, but you know, you get the picture of like wild men going into a hospital and killing people in their beds. That's not the story. So first of all, I said the Aruch Chaim said it that way. And number two, I want to take you to the Ksav HaKabbalah. The Ksav HaKabbalah is going to be something very, very new. Says, Vayihi Bayom HaShlishi, and it came to pass on the third day, Bihiyotam Kohavim, when they were in pain. So I know what you learned since childhood, that the third day after circumcision is the most difficult day of all. The Rebbein Shem comes to visit Avram on the third day of his Mila, and incidentally, by the way, from Avram we may bring proof to exactly what we want to bring. You understand that he's 99 years old and it's the third day of his Bris Mila, and this man is moving around with such speed, with such determination, with such alacrity. This is a younger match. The Ksav HaKabbalah brings, and such as the Ran in the Masechta Shabbos proves that that's not true. By the third day, most of the pain and most of the weakness has passed. In other words, you know, we always have this in our mind: the first day, not bad; second day, third day. I mean, I've talked myself into it because the third day after I come back from Chutz Laretz, jet lag hits me like a Mack truck. Like the first day you come back, you're still excited. I have to tell my wife everything that happened on the trip, and I don't remember this stuff that I don't remember for 2 weeks, 3 weeks later. And then you have to say, she has to do this. You keep going on adrenaline. By the third day, finished. Wipe out. That's not the way it is. That's not the way it is by Mila. According to the Chan, and he proves it from the Gemara in Shabbos. Where Shabbos says that on the third day, you're allowed to heat up water for a baby that went through Bris Mila. You're allowed to heat up water on Shabbos on the third day. And the Ran says, Koshkein bayom avishon bayom asheni. Certainly on the first and the second day. Gemara isn't coming to tell us that on the third day it's so bad that you're allowed to cook up hot water. No. The first day is the worst. The second is better. By the third already it's healing. And I would have thought maybe by the third we shouldn't be allowed to cook up hot water on Shabbos. And one says, you know, there still could be some kind of sakana. So you know what? Third day also, Torah says, you may heat up hot water. But the fact is, it's normal. Normal is by the third day they're on the road to mending. And we're talking about strong gezinte chevre. It's a minor operation. You understand? It's a minor operation. And don't tell me the joke that a minor operation is when it's on somebody else. We know that. Okay, it's a minor operation. The Ksav HaKabbalah comes up with a blast of a pshat, and this is a classic example of how he looks at things. He always wants to look at the meaning of a word. What does the word ke'ev mean? In Tanakh, what does the word ke'ev mean? So you're going to tell me, well, you take Ichveis Akamol, because Akamol is Mishachech ke'evim. It diminishes pain. When you talk about, you know, you need a headache, you have a heen, a ke'ev rosh, a chves. So you have to know in Tanakh there's not only a ke'ev rosh, there's a ke'ev lev. I even went ahead and I brought from the Concordatia number 8 where the word ke'ev appears in Tanakh. At least half of them are talking not about physical pain at all. They're talking about heartache. Nothing related to physical pain. Kohelet says, Yosef Da'as, Yosef Machov. The more you know, the more pain there is in the world. But it's not talking about Oyvei, I learned too much. I better take an akamol fast because Yosef does. Or there's the pasuk in Mishle. I have it underlined. Gam b'schok yichav leiv. Even when one is frivolous, oh, that can cause a great deal of heartache, of pain. It brings a pasuk in Malachim where a king says that you should destroy the fields of the enemy, and it says, "V'chol achelka tova tachivu ba'avanim," cause pain to the land with stones. Stop it up with stones. And what do you think? You'll give an akamol to the earth, and it'll feel better. The word ke'ev speaks not only of physical pain; it talks of mamish ke'ev leiv. How would we hear? What word?
A heartache.
Ksava Kabbalah says the following. And if you think he's going too far, he's not going too far, because he's going to quote a story that's wrote in the Sefer HaYoshua of Rabbeinu Tam. He says the following: Bayom HaShlishi, not Shlishi Lamila, 3 days after they decided to enter into this agreement with the family of Yaakov, they had second thoughts. You know what they had? They had Shivrele, they had heartache, because they had already had heard that the nations around them were preparing to come against them because they had betrayed their fellow idolaters, the Kanani and the Perizi. They had betrayed them by entering in not merely to a commercial and economic alliance with the family of Yaakov, but they have taken on, in a sense, the religious practice of the family of Yaakov. That was the only mitzvah up until that time. And there were already talk of surrounding them and destroying them for having betrayed them. The Sefer HaYosha says that on the third day, they had decided that they are breaking the agreement that they made with the house of Yaakov, and they are preparing for war against the house of Yaakov. But the Shabbat had somebody in Shrem. Dina overheard. And Dina got a message out to her family: you're in grave danger. They're breaking the agreement. The ceasefire, it's all over. So therefore, Zava Kabbalah says, "Vayihi v'yom ha'shlishi b'yotam ko'avim," is not talking about the pain of Bris Milah. These fellows were strong enough, as the Arachayim had said, to surround the house of Hamor and Shem and stand there to protect the Lord, their Lord, Hamor and Shem. Some Ko'avim, they had ke'ev leiv. How did they ever let themselves be talked into something of this sort that is now going to endanger them before all of the peoples around them? Let's just see a few psukim, a few lines in number 7. Biyotam Ko'avim she'ko'av lehem, it caused them pain. V'nitchartu al amila, they had charata about the Mila. The chain super the Sefer HaYosha, so it says in the Sefer HaYosha. Ki yoru, they were afraid, me'acheim ha'knanim, from their brothers the Knanim. Pen yavo aleim la'molchom, lest they will come against them for war. Al asher ozu ez datam, that they had left their religion. L'chein him tiku sod, they planned secretly. Ki achash yisrapu yes v'kulam v'nei Yaakov l'horgam, after they are fully healed, they're going to surround the children of Yaakov and kill them. V'dino shahoy sadayim, the Beit Shem, Dino was still in the house of Shem. Shoma zol, she heard it, v'odiyol avyol eka, she let her father and her brother know. V'al zenit malu chay moshim v'levi, v'asu masha osu. That's why they got angry and they went in and did what they did. The word ko'avim in the pasuk is not the pain, that the physical pain that comes because of the bris milah. Din kain, who told Yosef, Oil of Ne Yaakov, love Alein, Beyom Rishon, Lemilosam, Abiyam Sheini. Says a beautiful verse. Look how beautiful it is. If they want to get them while they're drowned, what are you waiting for the third day? If you just want to, take revenge, what are you waiting for? Go in now, right after the Bris Milah, wipe out the whole city. That wasn't the point. They may have thought at first that there was a deal, there was an agreement. Any day now, Dina is going to be free. Then we have, in 2 weeks, and 3 weeks, and 4 weeks, there's talking. How many times have we heard in the last 3 months, there's a deal, and the German guy is in Syria, and the Syrian guy is in Gehenna, and everybody's talking about when Shalit is going to go out, Nachamol. It's all part of a psychological battle against the Jewish people. That's what it all is, and we fall for it. Shimon and Levi didn't fall for it. You know what Shimon and Levi decided? We're not falling for it. Let them fall for it. And therefore, when they knew what the plans were, they went in and they destroyed the city of Shechem. It would have been better for Bnei Yaakov to come against them on the first day of Yom Sheni, because then the wound of the Milah hurts a great deal more than on the third day. You know what the purpose of this year is? The purpose of this year is simply to, question what we've always had in our minds from the time that we were little kinderlach, about Shimon and Levi. Shimon and Levi, you know, it's a terrible thing. We have to, it wasn't so terrible. We don't have the whole story, or a great deal more of the story you have now. And you see how an Orach Chaim looks at it, how a Targum Yonatan Ben Uziel and Targum Yerushalmi, how they look at it, how the Ksav HaKabbalah looks at it. And even Rav Shamshon Rafal Hirsch, who is the one who says that this cannot be excused and cannot be condoned, but in terms of the motivations, even he agrees that the motivations of Shimon Velevi were absolutely pure and had to be understood. But never lose sight of the fact that both Orach Chaim and the Ksav HaKabbalah are focusing in on words in the Pasuk. The Orach Chaim, more than all of them, the fact that Chamor and Shechem are killed after everybody else, an indication that they had come to protect, a number of other statements that are made that you can see that this was not two people alone, but two people alone who had the backing of a whole city that was ready to stand up and defend them. And therefore, Shimon and Levi, today, I end this year with saying that Hachzona Yaseh Hachoseinu is one of the great slogans of Torah. And you know what it stands next to proudly? Let my people go.
No? What do you got?
One moment.